We're going to take your calls this hour with Rich Newman as we talk about the ghost of the Civil War and, of course, haunted bridges. Jump on board and share your stories. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We'll get to your calls in a second. Rich Newman with us. Rich, how did you get involved in paranormal work? How did that happen?
Well, just like most people, it just came about from being interested in it. Being around in the 90s, you know, we had all these great television shows like Unexplained Mysteries and Sightings, and you know, listening to your predecessor, Mr. Bell, and I just became interested in that subject and started getting together with people that I knew were also interested in it, specifically ghosts, and just started visiting a lot of the places around Cape Girardeau, Missouri, actually, that sort of had legends about them, and just learning more about them.
Well, I got to tell you, you do great work, Rich. And tell me about the Paranormal Inc. group.
Well, Paranormal Inc. is myself, Mike Elsman, who's in Cape Girardeau, and my brother Brandon Del Rosa. And the three of us work together to try to research in a scientific way different things associated with ghosts and hauntings. And usually that means going to reputable sites that have a lot of great eyewitness accounts and trying to get actual data concerning the haunting there, things like actual, you know, recordings, temperature changes, gathering spots that have electromagnetic fields that may indicate some sort of electrical presence, different kinds of data so we can try to quantify, you know, what this phenomena is. And, you know, are these ghosts all the souls of people, or are some of them not so much, or are a lot of them legends, and just getting to the bottom of a lot of the stories.
Can you say at this point, Rich, categorically, that these hauntings, let's say Gettysburg, that these are real as opposed to figments of imagination of people?
Oh, they're real. I mean, we may disagree over the disposition of a ghost. You know, some people, you know, are very staunchly believe that ghosts are all just, you know, moments of time captured in the environment. You know, but then others, myself included, have had experiences that obviously indicate that there's some sort of intelligence at play some of the time. And those become a little difficult. And I think the problem is for a lot of people, the idea of ghosts is intimidating because it can oftentimes challenge their religion. Depending on their particular faith, you know, the idea of, you know, there could be a heaven, there could be a hell, but there's nothing in between. So I think a lot of people want to summarily dismiss anything that falls outside, you know, their religious beliefs. And
that's a good point.
Right. And when they have an experience, this can challenge their entire, you know, look at the universe. So it's just one of those things, you know. I've always said everybody is one experience away, you know, from being a believer.
Skype is open at George97313. George97313, if you've got Skype and you want to pop on as well. We're going to take some calls with Rich Newman about haunted bridges and also ghosts of the Civil War. Anything? I've been to the haunted Queen Mary, the ship, and that's very eerie, Rich, all by itself. Have you been on that?
I have, and actually I've been working over the last 2 years with Fuji TV out of Japan, shooting in various haunted places. And that was one of the places that's so well known that the folks in Japan were like, you know, we want to go to the Queen Mary and shoot on the Queen Mary. And wow, what a ship, right?
It's amazing. And they had, the case of a little girl who died on that ship. And that's kind of eerie because people still see her.
That's right. They see her in the hallways, and then there's a couple of cabins especially that are attributed to her. There's also what appears to be a person dressed in circa 1920s garb that they presume to be probably one of the people who worked on the ship, you know, as a porter or something along those lines, who's been seen walking in hallways and in a couple of particular cabins as well. But, you know, even without the ghosts, when you go on that ship, I mean, it's like stepping back in time. I mean, everything looks like, you know, that Art Deco 1920s decor. So I could definitely see if there is an intelligent ghost on that ship, why they would be confused, because, you know, from their perspective, time hasn't changed on that particular, on that ship.
Let's go to William, truck driving in Virginia, to get us started here east of the Rockies. Hi, William, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George and Rich. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. Hope you're well, too.
Hey, two years ago, I was down at Gettysburg. I was at my son's football game, and we were right across the street from the Farnsworth house. So if you walk across the street, walk down the hill, there's the new middle school and football field there. And I was watching the game, and I felt like somebody was watching me from behind. And I turn around, and there stood a gentleman in not necessarily Civil War garb that everybody would think of. He almost looked like he was dressed up in a Santa Claus outfit. And here, about 6 months later, I ran into a professor from the college. I live in Asper, so it's right up the street from Gettysburg. Well, I ran into a professor, and I pointed out the outfit that I saw this man wearing. Here, he was a member of the Wheats, Louisiana Tigers, which were probably one of the most vicious groups that fought at Gettysburg, and they had a big battle right across the street from the Farnsworth house on day number two. Now, what I'm saying is it was, he was almost standing there like he was a real person, and he actually pointed. I had eye contact with this gentleman for about 10 seconds, and I took my eyes off him to tap my wife on the shoulder to get her to see this, and I turned around, and he was gone.
How about that? How about Hello? That? Okay, go ahead, Rich.
Well, that's an interesting story. That was definitely a pretty notorious group that fought during that battle. You know, this sounds like a perfect example of what we were talking about when someone perhaps dies so quickly in the moment that they just suddenly get sort of trapped there, because, you know, the Farnsworth house was actually a sniper spot. The Sweeney family that lived in that house was sort of invaded by, you know, some Union snipers who went up and, you know, up into their attics because it kind of overlooked, you know, the area. And those snipers were up there in those attic windows just popping people from up there. So this could entirely be one of the soldiers that was out there fighting, and that sniper just, bam, got him, and there he is today. What a glimpse into the past that you had there.
Next up, we go to Dave, truck driving in Michigan. Welcome to the show. Hey, David, go ahead.
We're out here, George. Every time you have a show, we try to get that nighttime haul so we can
love it.
we're enjoying the conversation tonight with Rich, and here he's from Memphis area, right?
Yes, he is.
Hey, Rich, you got any ghost stories, Civil War stories from Germantown or Collierville? Because my ancestor in the 11th New York Cavalry fought in that area.
Well, I don't specifically have many ghost stories associated with Germantown, Collierville. Although they have been a few sightings of, they say, a Confederate soldier who's been seen in the old Collierville town square, which actually served as a bit of a train station, as a hub transporting goods, food, things between the North and the South, specifically for the Union soldiers. The town of Corinth had a battle because of this particular train line. So a Confederate soldier who presumably was sort of watching over that train line in Collierville has been seen on the old square there. But if you venture outside the entire subject of the Civil War, you know, you have a lot of great haunted places now closer, you know, to the midtown, downtown area, such as the, you know, the haunted Woodruff Fontaine House. That's more associated with Victorian hauntings. And then you also have, you know, several downtown that were big antebellum homes that have their own ghost stories as well. And there's an actual Memphis ghost tour that, I don't know if you, have you taken that tour?
He's just listening on his radio.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a great tour that you can also take to see some of these. So I would definitely say your best shot at seeing a Civil War ghost would be probably be at the right place, right time at the old Collierville Town Square, though.
Rich, do you think it's just a matter of energy?
No, I don't think it's just energy. I think it's energy in the particulars of the environment, because it does seem like all of the ingredients for almost a natural battery, certain elements that are in the rock and the stone and the land, coupled with running water carrying these different charges, sort of makes a certain area almost act like a battery that can just sort of store a charge. It does seem like that the areas of the country that have these sort of environmental conditions have more ghost stories. That's why we have a lot of times even entire towns that sort of claim to be haunted, and they have so many stories. And then you can go, you know, one town over and there's nothing, you know, no stories. And so I don't think it's just the energy as in like our energy or the ghost energy. I do think environmental conditions come into play, and also the perception of the people that go to these places, because you take a haunted home, for instance, you could put two families in there and one will say, hey, I lived there 5 years and never saw a thing. And the next family would be like, well, you know, we saw something every night.
The fact that these things are happening tells you what about what's going on in this universe or the series of multiverses. What do you think it all is?
I wouldn't even try to guess what it all is, but I would definitely say, you know, once again, this is just confirmation that we have a lot to learn. You know, in every age of mankind, you know, we used to believe the earth was flat, you know, for instance, you know, and then we figure out it's not. You know, we used to not believe in germs, even going back to the age of the Civil War, the idea of germs was just a theory. No one really believed it, you know. I'm convinced that our souls are just a part of our bodies, and that, you know, I'm not, you know, by any means saying, you know, there's no need for religion or there's no religions or anything, but I do believe that our soul is just, you know, another part of our body that we've yet to figure out. And I would love to see more mainstream scientists take it seriously, so we can start learning more about this. And then maybe we can start figuring out why it is that some people seem to pass on and go to the next thing and others seem to stick around.
Well, that's absolutely true. And of course, we believe the soul came before the body, did it not?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, and even people have suggested in various religions and different theories that, you know, the idea of reincarnation, that maybe even our souls are just sort of coming in, doing its thing, going back into the ether, and then coming right back in somewhere else, doing its thing, you know, this sort of thing. The idea of karma and the, you know, and the soul and reincarnation are also quite prevalent.
Well, they sure are. So, Rich, what would you tell people who prospectively want to do what you do?
I'd say just do it, you know. I mean, the information these days as far as how to go about hunting ghosts, I mean, one of the books I wrote actually before Haunted Bridges was Ghost Hunting for Beginners. And it sort of lays out all the basics of, you know, the gear that you can get if you want to do the gear thing, or if you're just wanting to expand your horizons and have some experiences. Because maybe, you know, you do want to know more about, you know, the soul and the afterlife, and you just want that confirmation. You know, some people think, you know, running into a ghost would be such a terrifying event. You know, for me, you know, it's an exhilarating thing that, you know, just to know there's something else beyond, you know, this mortal coil, so to speak. I would just say do it. You know, the information's all out there. There's haunted restaurants you can visit. You can go spend the night in your favorite haunted hotel. Do some, you know, put out an audio recorder, do some exploring, talk to the people about experiences. It's so easy to do now, and I would just say enjoy yourself and do it and have a good time.
Let's go to Stu in Phoenix, Arizona. Stu, go ahead.
Yeah, on a previous appearance, Rich, I heard you mention the Crybaby Bridge in a place called Rogue's Hollow in Ohio. And I wanted to tell you that about 30 years ago, I pulled a Halloween prank there. I was driving through in a car that was so customized you couldn't tell what it was. And I saw a hayride coming toward me. And I thought, this is too good to pass up. So I pulled over and waited. And when the wagon came up alongside of me, I stuck my face out the window and went, ah! And I think the boys screamed louder than the girls did. And if I'm not mistaken, the wagon jumped sideways a couple inches.
Great story.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Stu, for sharing that. We get texts and tweets as well. Tom, what do you have back there in L.A.?
Rich, this is from Clara in Montrose, California. Can you please ask Rich if, given the history, Gettysburg ghosts are more likely to be friendly or unfriendly?
What do you think of that, Rich? I mean, you've got the experience there. I would tend to think they're friendly.
Absolutely. I mean, the actual, I would say, documentation of ghosts doing hateful, mean things is so rare, even just nationwide, that the idea of even running across one in a battlefield is so low in odds that it's not even worth considering. Most of the spirits that you're going to run into in a place like Gettysburg are just lost. I mean, if they're intelligent, they're confused, they probably just want to be noticed, they want to be seen. A lot of times just acknowledging that you see them is probably bringing them some sort of happiness. And then, like I mentioned so many times earlier in this conversation, is a lot of times, you know, they're going to be oblivious to you. So, I mean, if this question's coming, you know, because you may have some fear or trepidation about visiting some of these places, don't have any of that, because, you know, if you're fortunate enough to run into any of these poor souls, you know, it's going to be exhilarating for you and maybe, you know, brighten their afterlife up a little bit.
And, of course, has anybody, based on your research, been killed by an apparition?
No. I think the closest, you know, we get to this subject when you start getting into the ideas of possession and whether or not the entities that are actually possessing a person are non-human in nature, you know, a demonic-style possession, or were they actually inhabited by a quote-unquote evil spirit, because there have been, you know, exorcisms and possession cases that have gone awry that could have ended with a death. So I guess it's debatable, you know, in those situations, you know, if a spirit kind of killed someone. But as far as directly, like, you know, shoving them downstairs or hitting them with a brick or something, I would say no. I've never heard of anything credible in that wheelhouse.
Maybe that's a good thing, huh?
That's a great thing.
All right, stay with us, Rich. We're going to come back in just a moment and wrap things up with final phone calls. Those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get you when we come back as we talk with Rich Newman about ghosts of the Civil War and also haunted bridges, over 300 of America's creepiest crossings. And welcome back, Rich Newman with us. Hey, I do want to tell you, by the way, our annual Ghost to Ghost show is Tuesday, October 31st on Halloween night, of course. And we'd love some of your stories if you would email us your name and phone number and the ghost story to Ghost Stories, put that S on there, ghoststories@coasttocoastam.com, if you would. Back to Rich Newman, of course. And Rich, tell us about your website and where people can still pick up your books.
Well, my books are pretty much available in most bookstores, but so I'd say probably your quickest bet is Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. The website is ParanormalIncorporated, all spelt out, .com, and you can go there and read about some of our various cases over the years, see some clips from the Ghosts of War documentary I mentioned earlier, as well as just read more about some of the things we're doing in the paranormal field.
In your life career, what would you say might be the most strangest story you've ever come across?
Well, I actually wrote an entire book about the strangest story I came across.
You did?
Tell
us.
The Devil in the Delta.
Oh, boy. What happened?
This was a family in Mississippi who lived in a double-wide trailer in the middle of Chickasaw National Forest, and they believed that their trailer was invaded by a demon. And it was a bizarre case. And I wrote the book mainly as sort of a cautionary tale for would-be ghost hunters, because this case embodied every aspect of the ambiguity that comes with investigating any kind of paranormal activity. Because the stories that would come out of this trailer were just unbelievable, and so many of them would just be outright fabrication. And then as soon as I would be ready to sort of just write this case off and say, oh, these people are crazy, then I would suddenly have an experience there that would be so unexplainable and so bizarre and so off the charts that I would have to go right back there and investigate some more. So I would say if someone really wants to read about a really bizarre case, I would say pick up a copy of Devil of the Delta.
Love it. Okay, Rich, let's go to John in Buffalo, New York now. Welcome to the program. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Great show tonight with Rich.
Thank you.
My question is, well, first I'll tell you, just make it brief, try to make it brief. I'm a Christian. I studied the scriptures for about 2 decades, and I actually even known a Brazilian minister that used to minister to the headhunters over in a headhunter tribe over in Africa. And they used to have a lot of spirits that they were either manifesting, seeing, or talking to. So this leads me to my question. To me, I believe these people, whether it's Lincoln, whether it's a Civil War soldier, and I'm not too far from Gettysburg either, because I stayed at the Farnsworth House and all that, so I had some interesting things, too, that happened to me. But my question really evolves around that. How do you know that all these people that we're seeing off the bridge or Lincoln or Civil War soldiers are not a familiar spirit, which is a specific designation of a evil spirit? It's classified that because of its chief characteristic, you know, basically of a relationship or a familiarity with a person or personality that you would recognize as a Civil War soldier or someone who jumped off a bridge. So my question or statement is, how do we not know that this is not, all these people have passed on, I believe, in my heart of hearts. I really believe that we are being confused to actually drive people away from to the truth, life driven away from the truth, but to look at more the confusing state of what familiar spirits can do to people. I'm not saying it's not interesting, and I think that's what it is. It's almost like they don't have to be evil to the point where they hurt you, but they can confuse you to the point where it might take your focus off mm-hmm. of the truth.
Well, then they probably do they not, Rich? They are tricksters sometimes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of different theories for that. I mean, you're not alone in your way of thinking. I mean, there are definitely, just as we mentioned before, sometimes seeing a ghost appear in a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that that ghost is that thing. Whether or not you want to read any sort of malcontent into that or, you know, any evil intent, is kind of subjective. You know, one person's scary experiences is another person's enlightenment. So I would say, you know, I would approach all of these different stories and cases and incidents with sort of an open mind, and then just sort of, you know, question yourself afterwards, you know, did anything bad really happen? Or, you know, was perhaps I just scared and I kind of thought something bad was going to happen? But you're definitely not alone in that way of thinking. That there's a lot of thought out there that a lot of these spirits aren't what they seem, and you know, it's definitely could be the case. I mean, we don't know all the information about this stuff.
Yeah, we were talking about the little girl story on the Queen Mary. Why does it appear that little children ghost stories are freaky? They're sad, but they're also freaky. How come?
Well, that's a really good question. Maybe it's because of The Shining or something. You know, maybe it's some of these horror movies.
The Chucky dolls.
There is definitely. You mean you're not wrong. I mean, there's something creepy about.
There is something, and it's very sad. But I mean, there just seems to be something very creepy about these things.
I was actually investigated at another house that was associated with the Civil War called the Deason Home, and it's in Ellisville, Mississippi, and it's open to the public as a sort of living museum. And this particular house has a couple of child spirits in it. And I actually have a recording, and in fact, it's going to go in one of our posts that's going to go on our website probably later this week. But we actually got these child ghosts to play with us. We could actually say, you know, go hide, and I could walk with an EMF detector trying to look for any sort of electrical anomaly. And then all of a sudden, this EMF detector would start going off, you know, in the corner of one room, and I'd say, aha, I found you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it would just go dead, like they ran off and hid again. And then miraculously, when we went back and looked at all the audio from that session, we actually caught some of the kids' laughter and even like almost a sigh of disappointment when we announced that the game was going to be over, that we were going to go on and do other things in the house. Hmm.
Tom's got a text or tweet back there in L.A. What do you have for us, Tom?
From Dave in Louisiana, can you please talk about the book Incident at Owl Creek Bridge, written by Civil War veteran Ambrose Bierce?
Can you address that, Richie? I can't.
I believe that's a piece of fiction that was written at the turn of the century.
Okay.
Was it?
Do you think it was based on? Do you think it was based on fact?
You know, I've only ever heard of the book in context of just spooky stories to read to someone. Ambrose Bierce has a particular notoriety for writing these sort of campfire tales, you know, from back in the day. I'm actually unaware of Owl Creek Bridge is one of those based on a true story type events, or if this is just something out of Bierce's imagination, because he was very good at spinning scary yarns. So I don't know how to answer that question.
Let's go to Ron in North Reddington Beach, Florida, first-time caller. Good morning, Ron. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, George.
Thank you.
Rich, I have a question for you, though. When you come out of downtown of Gettysburg and you head westbound, you go into more farmlands. Now, I'm more of an analytical. I read nonfiction. I'm more of a realist and all, but I'm very much of a skeptic. But I've had four encounters in the supernatural, and one in particular, a smaller one, and since you're on the topic of Gettysburg, is that it was Halloween. I was living at that time in Fairfax, Virginia, and had gone around to all the for the historical side of it, of all the battlefields. Virginia being the one with the most battlefields of the whole war. And going westbound and all, we made a stop. We were heading towards the field itself, the battlefield, and we got misplaced. You know, men don't get lost. We just get misplaced. And in doing so, when I was turning around, I went ahead and it was dead quiet about 11:30 at night, just shy of midnight of Halloween. And I had asked my wife, I said, did you hear that? She said, hear what? What did you hear? I said, did you hear a horse? She said, no, but it sounded like a horse's neigh. Now, there are no animals per se. There's only the farms out there in that area. And as we turned around, we went back towards downtown, and about a quarter mile, there was a historical marker. So I made a pit stop. And I wanted to read the... And it said, at this point is where the only animal had been killed during the Civil War, and it was a horse. Have you heard anything like that?
That would be a great story. Go ahead, Rich.
I'm familiar with that marker. I think you may be the only person that I've heard actually tell a story of encountering the spirit of a horse. The ghosts of animals are actually more common than we would believe.
They sure
tales
are.
Tales of... Yeah, of ghost dogs, cats, things in homes, and even there's a hotel in Tennessee that's famous for the ghosts of a horse, called the Walking Horse Hotel. And yeah, the west route out of Gettysburg was actually the big logistics route running between the Union Army and Gettysburg. In fact, I believe Cashtown, where a lot of General A.P. Hill was stationed with his troops, is west from Gettysburg on I-30, I think it is. I had not heard of anyone running into the ghost of the horse, but yeah, running into the spirits of animals does happen more than you would think, and that's quite an interesting experience to have.
A lot of people who have a loved cat or dog that has passed on will see paw prints or something like that on their bed. And you could see the indentations as if the animal's still there.
Absolutely, and sometimes even feel almost like a warm spot, like they were sitting there.
Joe in the Bronx, welcome to the show, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, Joey.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask Rich, now, after Gettysburg, what is the next most haunted battlefield of the Civil War? And is it Shiloh?
I would say it would be either Shiloh or Spotsylvania. Shiloh has a lot of, you know, areas, of, as I mentioned earlier, such as Bloody Pond. There's also an orchard field that's very well known. They call it the Hornet's Nest, where they're just, they said so many bullets were flying through the air that they sounded like hornets buzzing. And, of course, there's the story of the drummer boy. Spotsylvania is also well known for about five or six different little spots and well worth your visit if you want to go try to find some ghosts. And the most famous spirit actually said to be in Spotsylvania is that of the General Stonewall Jackson. He actually was shot by his own troops on accident while fighting at the Battle of Spotsylvania. And he ended up being taken into a very small house where he succumbed to his wounds and passed away. Now, that little house is called the Stonewall Jackson Shrine now. People have said that they've heard his voice speaking in empty rooms in there. They've seen his spirit standing looking out the window. Lots of different stories about Stonewall Jackson and that house. And I would definitely say Spotsylvania would rank as the number two most haunted battlefield after Gettysburg.
Wow. Brian in Indianapolis, let's get you in here. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, George, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, listen, General Jackson was shot at the Battle of Chancellorsville, which was Robert E. Lee's greatest victory. And a little history note, the Union Army never beat Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson on the battlefield. So after Jackson died, the course of the war changed. I was in Gettysburg with my wife, first time we ever went there. We went to Sachs's Bridge early one morning. It was cloudy. I got a series of pictures on my 35-millimeter camera, and I took a picture going up to the bridge, and then I took a picture of me standing, Rich, if you know the bridge, on the little stone wall as you go up to get onto the bridge. And mm-hmm. We went home, got the film developed, and there's this big fog all around me. So, you know, so when we went back, we got, wow, we got something here, man. So, and we showed where we were staying at the Gettysburg Inn, and they go, yeah, there's a lot of ghosts. You know, you get a lot of paranormal activity out there all the time. So we were excited. We, you know, we never, that's kind of the first time I've ever had an encounter. But my wife was in the wheat field a couple days later, and she jumped a mile high. George, I'll tell you what, and she told me last night at supper table, she goes, look, Brian, you don't have to get up and call George every time that he has a good show because I'm working day shift overtime today. But anyway, she jumped a mile high. She felt somebody grab her ankle in the wheat field. And to this day, she would swear to that. George, you guys do a good show. I talk highly of you. And I only get up early for three things: hunting, fishing, and going to work to get some overtime.
You got it, Bri. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We are almost out of time, Rich. The clock is getting us. I'd like you to give out your website one more time.
The website is ParanormalIncorporated, allspelledout.com. And you can also just add us on Facebook and get a lot of info there as well.
What's your next project?
That's a good question. Actually, I'm getting into wanting to detail more personal experiences that people have had with ghosts and hauntings and different things as far as private cases that are happening across the country. So if anyone has any interesting stories and things that have happened to them, feel free to send them my way.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Rich Newman. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.